Double Tap.
This week on Double Tap, Sonic the Hedgehog turns 25.
I think even now, 25 years later, and obviously Sonic has evolved somewhat, just that character instantly is really iconic.
My mum knows what that sound is. She's never played a video game in her life, but she would tell you, what's that noise? That's the ring from Sonic.
Hello and welcome to Double Tap. I'm Alice Taplin.
And I'm Jamie Ware.
This week, together, we are celebrating a hedgehog who is older than both of us, but one that has inspired developers and stolen the hearts of gamers for 25 years.
Yes, whether it's the dopamine-inspiring or just your love of the perfect blue hero. Today, we're going to be celebrating 25 years of Sega's Sonic the Hedgehog.
We're joined throughout the show by Jay Mann from the Sonic Show podcast, who's collaborated with us on this show, and James Booth from Sega's Hardlight, who made the most recent iteration of the Hedgehog brand, Sonic Dash.
So let's start by asking why that blue hedgehog is such an iconic character.
I told you, I'm not a rat! I'm a hedgehog!
I think even now, 25 years later, and obviously Sonic has evolved somewhat, just that character instantly is really iconic.
Hedgehog's gotta do what a hedgehog's gotta do.
It's even just the noise they make when you collect. That's a noise that has never changed. My mum knows what that sound is. She's never played a video game in her life, but she would tell you, what's that noise? That's the ring from Sonic.
Well, this is new. Showing remorse, Eggman?
So you look at the Sega logo, you know, as it is now, it's blue, so I imagine that probably came into the decision to have a blue hedgehog as the main character.
I think, I don't know why, well, something about Sonic struck a chord with everyone, and it's sort of stuck ever since, really.
I think particularly early on, you know, Sonic was a huge inspiration just for that platform genre.
James Booth from Sega's Hardlight.
Really, at the time, you had Mario, who was, you know, I mean, I love Nintendo and I love Mario games, but it didn't have that speed that Sonic had. And I think at the time, you know, it helped prove that you can go up against Nintendo and you can create, you know, a platformer that was as good, if not better, than what Nintendo was producing at the time. So I think it helped inspire a lot of people to get into the games industry as well. I mean, you know, I will happily admit that Sonic is one of the reasons I'm in the games industry right now.
There are very much some foundations from that original game that just worked, and it is blasphemous to even attempt to alter them.
Jay, from the Sonic Show podcast and YouTube channel.
Well, I mean, if you're going back all the many years ago, of course, back then, a time before Sonic, I can't believe such a time existed, but basically, yeah, Sega did make consoles, you know, they had their game systems out before Sonic. They had other characters before Sonic, like Alex Kidd and other things like that. And of course, the problem with, bless Sega, is they had to deal with Mario. And Mario is quite popular for Nintendo, did quite well for Nintendo. So they had to come up with their own creatures. They made, like I said, Alex Kidd, Rystar, a bunch of different things. Didn't really pan out. And then they had a shot at this hedgehog thing.
Bring it on!
Sonic appeals to so many people worldwide. What is it about the game that you think can kind of break down these cultural barriers?
I mean, I think it just helps that it's not based in reality. I think that helps it a lot. You know, you can't place it to a particular country or world or theme or anything like that. So I think for anyone, doesn't matter what country you're from, it's easy for you to pick up on, obviously, the characters and the world and sort of be part of it.
I think why it drew so many people into it was there are a lot of platformers out at the time. I think Sonic was probably the first time that someone tried to do something different, because you've got the speed and the loops and if you look at it visually, the original, it's so different to what like Mario was doing. Mario was all very, you know, flat colors and stuff, and Sonic was all very visual and very 3D in, by, you know what I mean, in terms of like how it looked on screen. I think that's caught people's attention ever since. And I also think the way that Sega, especially Sega of America, attacked their branding of it, this hedgehog with attitude, I think, and in the 90s, I think was very clever. I think it very much caught a lot of kids' imagination and stuff, because I think they could relate to, you know, a dude with chewed more than a plumber with a moustache.
So we set Alice the challenge of speeding through the Sonic timeline, which, without counting the mobile games, spin-offs and various other games, has amassed over 40 titles.
The first Sonic the Hedgehog game was released in June 1991, introducing the blue hedgehog with attitude and his arch-nemesis, Dr. Robotnik, or Eggman, to the world.
Well, this is new. Showing remorse, Eggman?
Just over a year later, in October 1992, Sonic the Hedgehog 2 was released, and with it came Sonic's first companion, Tails.
Hey, where are you going?
To find Baldy McNose hair, of course.
Side note, Tails' full name is Miles Prower, and the reason for the high voice is because he's an 8-year-old boy, not a girl, as he's often mistaken for. Tails was originally voiced by young males until adult females took on his role from 2006. By now, the world was obsessed with Sonic, and so too was Amy Rose, who was introduced a year later in Sonic the Hedgehog CD. Although originally a Princess Peach-style character, she's since saved Sonic on a number of occasions.
Hey Sonic, I finally found you!
In 1994, Sonic the Hedgehog 3 introduced Knuckles, the powerful but gullible Echidna, who was originally an antagonist until he teams up with Sonic to defeat Eggman.
Let's do this.
Bring it on! Fast forward to 1998, and the next game in the main Sonic series, Sonic Adventure, becomes the best-selling game on the Sega Dreamcast. By now, you can play all of Sonic's friends, which includes Big the Cat and E-102 Gamma, one of Eggman's robots. In 2001, another fan favourite was introduced. Shadow the Hedgehog is the evil alternative to our beloved hero and can propel himself at great speeds, manipulate time and space, and also stars in his own 2005 video game. For the 15th anniversary, the 2006 Sonic the Hedgehog was released and was notable for receiving a harsh negative reception, with some websites listing it as among the worst games made for PS3 and Xbox 360. In this world, life's an open book. Between 2006 and 2013, a flurry of Sonic titles came out. But the most significant partnership was in 2013, when Sega announced a partnership with Nintendo, promising three Sonic titles would be developed exclusively for the Nintendo consoles.
And so ends the glorious Sega console era. Alice explored that demise with James Booth from Sega.
Sega and Nintendo were originally, you know, rivals. So how did this kind of come about?
I think it was a case of, obviously, at the time, you know, unfortunately, sort of the hardware, you know, wasn't really where, set, you know, wasn't setting the world on light, unfortunately, making lots of money for Sega. So obviously we bowed out of that with the Dreamcast and decided to go third party. And I think from there, really, I mean, if you look at the when the Nintendo GameCube launched, we was on there day one with Sonic Adventure 2. And I think from there, it just, you know, became, you know, only a matter of time, really, before Mario and Sonic would star in their own game.
And why was it sort of important for this sort of collaboration to happen?
you know, obviously, you know, back in the 90s with the two consoles with the Mega Drive and the SNES, I mean, I remember, you know, in the playground, it was always an argument as, you know, people had Sega, people had Nintendo, and there's always been an argument about whose console was better. And I think, yeah, it was just important to just to show that there isn't any animosity between the two companies.
We also heard a lot about all of those characters in Alice's timeline. But when Nintendo won the console war, I asked Sonic Show presenter Jay whether the Sonic franchise won the character game.
I think it is the character design. I think it's the personality and stuff, because even now, you got Sonic, Tails and Knuckles, original trio. I think most people will stand by those characters. When I was doing a video submission for this contest thing that I won recently, I personally have a 5 foot tall Sonic plush, because why not? And I had him out and about in a park for filming purposes, and he was sat on a bench while we were setting up cameras, and all these kids wanted to sit next to him. So I don't know what it is about this guy. You could technically say, well, he hasn't had a relevant game for ages, but there's something about his character that people are drawn to.
Okay, whatever you are, if you want to avoid an embarrassing beatdown, you better give up now.
He was very popular because he came out in the 90s, and again with the attitude thing, and that fitted with the time. And I think when Shadow came out, Shadow was very, you know, in the nicest possible way, a bit emo, a bit moody, I think he came out around a MySpace generation, so he probably struck a chord. I think when Sega released a character that's has a personality that reflects that moment in time and the general, you know, people that are around on the line, especially on the internet these days, I think it does catch and I think it sticks, whereas the other characters didn't so much. But.
And of course, we can't forget the game's villain that we love to defeat.
What I like about Dr. Eggman is he's the strangest little fellow in the sense that at the same time, the most evil thing on the planet, but at the same time, I feel a bit of a bumbling fool. back in Sonic 2, where the very last level, you defeat the silver metal Sonic character, and then you run into the final Death Egg robot. Just a little animation Eggman has of running. He just looks like an idiot. I always sometimes feel that there's a lot of villains that you want to defeat, but I think with Eggman, he's sort of... weirdly, you're like, you feel sorry for him. And like, you don't... You want to go on adventures with Sonic and you want to defeat Eggman, but you don't mind defeating Eggman. Like, you're pleased to see him. I actually think in more recent games where they've had other enemies, fans have been a bit upset because they enjoy the sort of weird chemistry that they've created for those two characters.
We've heard a lot about Sonic's legacy, but let's find out about James Booth's contribution to the Sonic world, Sonic Dash, the new, essentially Temple Run-style mobile game.
Sega.
Bring it on!
I think for Sega fans and obviously people that know Sonic, I think this is sort of a genre that's expected of Sonic.
Perhaps Temple Run's stolen the Sonic format. Are there any copyright laws game developers have to consider when making new games based on old formats?
I think we'd be in trouble if people could copyright sort of genres or methods like that. I'm sure there are things that you can sort of copyright, but no, you don't have to do anything like that. It's as simple as, you know, you have an idea. I mean, it's a similar thing if you look at music. You know, there's only so many chords, really, that it's inevitable that eventually you're going to produce something that's going to sound like someone else. So whether you mean to or not, you can produce something that is similar to something else out there.
And how do you go about creating the game? Because, like you said, it's a sequel to the first Sonic Dash.
So with Sonic Dash 2, I think the first thing we did is we looked at the first one. And we thought of ideas that we wanted to do in the first one, but couldn't for various reasons. So some of the things we added were the grind rails. So again, it's just an extension of the gameplay that's already there, but it's something we wanted to do for Sonic Dash 1, but we couldn't. We was a bit limited with our editor then. So we sort of looked at the first game, saw things that we wanted to improve or add, and then we worked from there, really. And it was a similar process in terms of we had designers come up with ideas, and like everything we do relating to Sonic, we then have to go to Sonic Team in Japan, who owns Sonic. They're the creators of Sonic, and everything then has to be approved by them.
And games like Sonic Dash are really popular, even, you know, now in this era of big open world games and complicated storylines, how do you think that Sonic has managed to compete against these sorts of games and remain so popular?
I mean, the games you're kind of on about then, I think they sort of target a very limited demographic. And I think the popularity of Sonic really is that it, everyone in the world, pretty much everyone will know who Sonic is. And I think he just attracts such a wide demographic that I think that helps him. Even now, like Sonic Dash 1 has been out for, coming up to 3.5 years, and we're still getting a phenomenal amount of downloads each day.
So Sonic is still huge, even 25 years on. But what about the future of the Blue Hedgehog and his spiky friends? Beyond the announcements of a new game in 2017 at the Sonic 25th birthday party at the San Diego Comic-Con, we asked both Jay from The Sonic Show and James from Sega about whether Sonic has enough rings to keep him going for another 25 years.
I mean, I think Sonic is just going to continue growing and growing. I think, you're going to see more mobile games, you're going to see more console games, you're going to see more merchandise. We got a film coming out in a couple of years. So, I think you're going to see Sonic bigger and better than ever.
And going back to when you said that there was a film, are you hoping for the success that the Angry Birds film had this year?
I think that would be something great to aim for, definitely, and it's certainly possible. We've been fortunate at Sega Hardlight. We've worked with Rovio and to put the Angry Birds characters into Sonic Dash last year for a limited time event. So, and obviously they proved that the Angry Birds film, has done well for them. So yeah, I think that would be good if we hit that, but I think we'd like to make more money, to be honest.
Sonic's had films before, nothing in the cinema though, and Sonic Boom, the TV show, was only marginally successful. Is Sega nervous about the film release?
Yeah, I mean, even back in the 90s, we had TV shows there. We have done feature-length movies before, but nothing that's ever had a cinematic release. So, it is a risk, but at the same time, we really want to grow Sonic even more so now. And I think Sonic Dash has helped that. We've had over 180 million downloads. And, Sonic already, everyone knows who Sonic is. So I imagine there was obviously some risk there, but, I think it's going to do very well for the company.
And what does Superfan Jay think about Sonic's future film?
I think they're going to have to do some dramatic changes. There was an anime sort of like movie, if you will, of Sonic a fair many a year ago in Japan, and that sort of gameplay aspects were all sort of dropped because it doesn't necessarily work in terms of an engaging story. I think Sonic will always carry on, and admittedly, I would say possibly it's a very interesting time for the online fan base and also for Sonic the Hedgehog, because I don't think the fan base knows where they're taking the franchise. It depends on what they do with the character. I do believe that, let's say in a very negative view, that the world collapses and Sonic games don't sell or whatever. Even if he's not as strong like commercially as he's always been, I don't think the community will ever die out. I think they will carry on the legacy, and I think as long as the community still have a passion for Sonic, there will always be interest in the character, and I think that will probably outlive Sega, to be honest.
And all that leaves us to say is happy 25th birthday, Sonic, and many more to you indeed. With thanks to Jay from the Sonic Show podcast and YouTube channel, go check out their coverage of the Sonic 25th birthday party, and not forgetting James from Sega's Hardlight.
Double Tap is an Audio Boom production, presented by Alice Taplin and produced by Jamie Wareham.
Tap, tap. Double tap.